WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in Baltimore or Baltimore County, but I think the people in Eldersburg consider themselves Ravens and Orioles fans. We're out here at Liberatore's. I've been messing up all of Dante's napkins. He let me know that Liquid Libs Grill and Liberatore's all in the same napkin. We're in Eldersburg. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play, giving some scratch-offs. I'm running low on these show-me's. We're going to have some Ravens $2 scratch-offs. We'll have maybe have McCostas next week for the 30th day of the tour. We're going to be at Rock Salt out here in Carroll County on Friday with Marshall Weston from the restaurant Association, as well as some other cool guests. Got some good stuff going on. John Maroon is our guest right now. He's here on behalf of the Restaurant Association of Maryland. Of course, we have great sponsors in our Window Nation friends. Buy two, get two free. And Goodwill, where I'm still putting a closet together for Lisa, who's having a good time this week, and hopefully she's hitting some breweries as I've been hitting breweries. Dude, first off, appreciation for all of the Restaurant Association, but you and I work together with Classic Five. We talk about BMW coming back, but it's just a community thing, and I'll say this to you, like, last segment, I knew you from the Cleveland Indians, and you were a name on a sheet of paper. Then you were a big guy I met in a trailer in 1994 in Sarasota or wherever godforsaken place it was when you took that job. It was Sarasota, right?
95,
I met you at the Twin Peaks Park, I think.
Right after the strike ended, we all piled and rushed down to spring training really quickly. First time I met Cal Ripken was on our flight, the Southwest flight to Sarasota, because everyone was scrambling just to get to
spring training. And Sarasota wasn't even the spring training home. It was just sort of like a tent.
It was the minor league facility. The big league team was in between homes.
Well, the White Sox
before
were
they, and then the next year we ended up at Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
So it was kind of like figuring it out. It was a minor league facility. It was a scene, man.
Yeah, man. That's where I met you. Scott Wachter, I think, was with me down there. I remember meeting Kevin Brown, and he had like one of those things. He was always pulling the off the cage.
Yeah,
and
crazy bastard.
Yeah, Kevin Brown. He got paid, and no doubt about that. You were in the baseball business. You were in the sports business forever.
Yeah.
We met, and we had, you know, when Rafael Palmeiro was chasing me with a bat, you and I had words. When I would say something about the owner and you worked for the owner, I think I was right about everything I ever said about the owner. But, like, you were in PR, and it was never hostile between you and me. No. I don't think in any way. No. We do business together all these years later. But I think you, more than anyone, came here and saw people like me. And a lot of other people, like Viviano's not from here, Garceau's not from here, but made a life here and became Kevin Byrne, made a life here. I mean, people, you made a life here and made it beyond Cal or baseball or even sports, in that this is the land of pleasant living. You and your wife made Baltimore your home once you came here.
And
for me, for anybody from out of town, that's the first question is like, hey, what is it? You like us, like Sally Field, you know, you made a life here.
We love it here. And thanks, Ness. I mean, we moved here 27 years ago this year.
Under duress, as we pointed out.
Yes, under duress. And it's, you know, it's the first time, I grew up in northern New Jersey, lived in Cleveland for 5 years, and now I've lived here longer than we've lived anywhere, and we love it. This is home. We're crab-eating, crab-cake-loving Marylanders now, and really happy to be here and love our life here. So, very welcoming community. We felt it from the start. And going back to your and I relationship, I mean, I always had great respect for how hard you worked, how much you hustled. You were strongly opinionated, and with that comes disagreement. But disagreement never has to be angry, and I don't think it ever was with you and I.
Well, I mean, from my heart, I love the community, and the reason I love the Orioles is because it said Baltimore on it. Sometimes during your era, it didn't say Baltimore.
It did not.
And the same thing would be said for the Ravens. And, you know, the Crab Cake Tour trying to bring people together and telling stories. I want you to paint the picture of how you went from PR guy thinking you're getting a gold watch for life and a Major League Baseball pension, and you'd be in baseball or in that. And I dreamed of being Ken Rosenthal. I dreamed of being Tim Kirchin. I dreamed of just being a beat writer and chasing baseball players. I can't imagine at 53 doing the job that Rock Cabaco was doing 25 years ago, doing rock around the clock, sitting here for the sun. I mean, the business of baseball can wear you out. Even if the meanness and ownership and losing and night after night and 100, I mean, for any Phil Itzo who did it forever,
it's a young person's game, man.
It is now, right?
It is. Well, I just think it is. Like, I worked in baseball till I was about 35, and you know, I'm 57 now. And, you know, and then I transitioned and helped Cal through his last years, which was less of a baseball job, but still very much in baseball. And then started the agency 16 years ago. But how it started for me
16
that year.
16 years ago.
Yeah.
So 06.
06, yeah.
Cal left in 01. Right.
Yeah, and then I worked with Cal for 6 years. I helped him start the foundation,
Ironbirds,
through his retirement, the Ironbirds, and all that kind of stuff. And now he's a client. You know.
Well, I mean, it feels like a client for life. I mean, people that know you are like, that's Cal's guy. And what does that mean to be Cal's guy? I mean, what, literally, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really fully understand what it means, but I think, you know, he and I have a very close relationship. We've always gotten along really, really well. I think there's a high level of trust in everything we do, and he knows he could talk to me about anything, and it's not going to go anywhere until he's ready for it to go anywhere. And we've become friends, and, you know, his wife Laura and my wife Carolyn are very friendly, and, you know, we play golf together, and then we also look after, you know, all of his business interests and his, you know, public appearances and all that kind of stuff. And he has some great guys working for him over at the Ripken organization, so... he's doing really, really well.
What's
he's
he doing? I mean, he sort of popped up about a year and a half ago, won the 21-31. Always happens in September, right? Right around September 6th, on every fifth year or thereabouts. The ESPN thing played into that. And it's still, you know, as we said then, 27 Amazing. Years later, it's never going to happen again,
it's
right?
It's the moment, literally. Right? I mean, it was so perfect. And the way it rolled out was so perfect. He's loving life. You know, He and Laura live in Annapolis. They have, you know, he has his two children. She has her two previous marriages. They're doing wonderful. You know, Cal's keeping busy. He still owns, he and Bill still own the Ironbirds. They still own Ripken Baseball, which runs the four youth facilities around the country. He sits on a few different boards.
Is it stabilized now to a point where it's not a growth thing? It is what it is.
No, I
think the baseball side.
No,
I mean, it always felt like you were buying a team in Myrtle Beach or.
They're not.
You know,
yeah,
like,
the minor league side is not going to grow. Right, it's the Ironbirds. The youth side is in growth
Fair
mode.
Enough.
Yeah, there's a smart guy named Mike Kenny who runs that for Ripken Baseball, and they are on the growth mode nationally. And so he has that running really well. He's still, you know, an endorser. He's still a public speaker. He's still a corporate guy. But he's also loving retirement, slowing it down, and just liking life. He has a boat like everybody in Annapolis has to have. And, just doing great.
Well, I mean, for all those years, I'm calling you every 18 months. Is he buying the Orioles? Is he running the Orioles? Is he going to be the president of the Orioles? Is he going to be the executive? Is he going to manage
minutes.
You? Is he going to be the pitching coach? I mean, you know, that's kind of cooled off, right? I mean, 60-60, and, you know, retired is retired. And
well,
but he is a fiery... competitive fellow. I was going to say you play golf with him. As long as you play basketball with him, he'd probably kill you, right?
Oh, my God. That would be embarrassing. No, listen. You know, the Cal and the Oriole thing, because he is who he is, and he's a really smart guy, and he has opinions about things, every time these rumors would circulate about the team being sold or...
By the way, they've never been sold.
Coming in.
And now the boys are fighting, and they're not going to be sold anytime. I mean, there's never been a notion that he would... be the owner, right? I mean, like, in real terms, other than street mystery or whatever.
No, it was always a rumor thing. And, like, Cal, and the thing about it that's funny is how it always spikes. He has been wildly consistent in his response. If an opportunity ever presented itself, he would certainly want to look at that opportunity. But, you know, every single time that there's a rumor or something, it just does get a little bit exhausting. But, you know, it's also a huge compliment that people want him to be involved with the club that his dad and his brother and his whole family kind of have been around their entire lives. So, you know, it's a compliment. He loves the Orioles. He will always will love the Orioles. And he loves baseball and stays involved. And as you know, Bill's still involved with the MLB Network and doing that sort of thing, too. So they're a baseball family forever.
Well, I had Bonnie Habian on, and she was telling me about their relationship with the Ripkens and Bill and their friendship through all the years when John pitched for the
John
Orioles all those years later.
Great friends.
And, you know, through all of these years, the Ripken name, the brand, and what it stands for in baseball, when the Orioles come back in the way they are now, right? You can't help but be compelled by the story of Adley Rutschman. What's going on with this Henderson kid they're going to bring up this week? You've lived that life when it was Jeffrey Hammonds coming up, or when it was hey, Mike Bordick's been traded over here, or hey, we're trading BJ. Or I mean, you've lived that baseball life.
Yeah.
The difference between losing 118 games inside for anybody that works there or for the community. And how it turns around, it turns around the whole brand and gives Ripken Baseball a breath that it would not have for the next 5 years if this franchise is going to be what we think it can be. It raises all the boats for every Brooks, every Boog, every John Maroon, every WNSD, because baseball, when you moved here, part and parcel of community. Yes. I mean, really, it's foundational, and when it comes back, you see the stadium fill up, you see ball caps. Everywhere I've been this month, Cumberland, Frederick, Eastern Shore, Cambridge, Salisbury, Oriole hats are out. That's a fact.
Well, listen, I agree with you wholeheartedly that summers in Baltimore, when the Orioles are good, is the best place on earth. And it is a baseball town. And this plan that Mike Elias rolled out a few years ago seems to really be taking shape. They're exciting. They're fun to watch. They got no quitting them. I'm happy for every Baltimore Oriole fan because it's been a long time. And it seems like it's heading in the right direction. These kids are just super to watch. So, like everybody else, I'm rooting hard.
96 and 97.
For sure.
You were in Cleveland.
That was a long time ago.
But yes. I'm saying you've been around when the thing turns and we're good.
Yes. 96 and 97 were something else. 97, for those of you old enough to remember, that was the best team in baseball. And it wasn't even that close. Wire to wire in the AL East. I remember really vividly we went to Atlanta. And they were in first place in their division. It was kind of the Battle of the Titans. We kicked the crap out of them.
Messini
three
got
and
a
four.
Hit.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He did.
Went 3 out of 4 and won 3 out of 4. And it was just that people knew this is the best team in the game. And, you know, some unfortunate stuff happened in game two of that ALCS with the Indians and the hanging curveball, and the rest was history. But that team was the real deal. And that was fun to be around.
That was a tough day. The Benitez day, the Messina day. He still pitched great that day. You mentioned Charlie Steinberg, and last thing I'm thinking.
Yeah,
he's got a fistful of rings, right? I mean,
yeah, he does.
Well, I mean, that is the feeling when you go into this, is to try to win. And for the Orioles to have this window opening, it opens a window for Cal, for the community, for the BMW, for the city, for the region, really, that's not available when you lose 150
Look,
games.
Sports are a driver. You know this better than anybody. They're a driver for a lot of things. And, you know, we see it with the Ravens year in and year out. The excitement that they rile up just by kicking everybody's ass and being a great football organization top to bottom. And now with the emergence of the Orioles, if they can sustain this and continue to grow, how exciting. It's a long baseball season. And when they're good and they're competitive, it lifts everybody up.
All right, well, we have a sponsorship here. John Maroon's here. Do I say Maroon PR? What do I say? What's the official title of the Maroon organization, I think, at this point, correct?
Well, it's Maroon PR. We kept them PR, even though we do way more than just PR now.
And way more than sports. I mean,
way more than sports. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've evolved over the last 16 years. We represent, you know, a casino, restaurants,
hospitals,
mm-hmm. Real estate developers, you name it. And, you know, we feel that all that we do still falls under the umbrella of PR, because PR has grown, but still media relations, this sort of thing. It's still so, now it's big social media, and we do run our accounts for our clients and also create some really great content with our in-house videographer and graphic designer. And then we do ad buying. You know, we create relationships on the paid side that help our clients, like yours with Ram, is a great example. What you've done for them is unbelievable, and
they are
thrilled with that. So, earned, owned, and paid.
Well,
media,
I'm gonna buy Marshall
a
crab cake up at Rock Salt in the Carroll County. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill, Window Nation, and our friends at the Restaurant Association. John Maroon is our guest. Dude, I know you so well, but I don't. You maybe came on the show in the 90s once, or I don't think you've been on my show modern era much. I mean, maybe in and around Cal when I've sat with Cal. You've been the facilitator or been in the room or whatever. But
hey, PR guys are background guys.
Yeah. But that in brand building, when you have, and I talked to Dante about this with an existing brand with Liberatore's, where we are right now in Eldersburg, or even with 1623,
and,
for being our guest, John Maroon's not just going to receive Maryland Lottery scratch-off tickets. Also, 1623 up here giving me a tour today. Mike gave me a tour, but this is a brand new brand. In 2017, this didn't exist. But the brand of Classic Five and golf courses and what you've done with golf, you've moved into this golf space now with the BMW, but Classic Five is also something where the evolution of what a driving range looks like. If you've been out to Pine Ridge, you'd be like, oh, this isn't hit a bucket of balls anymore. This is something that's evolved like for Libra Touris, outdoor seating, every bit for me with Baltimore Positive.
Yeah.
But golf is evolving and changing dramatically with the science, the way Elias and Mydell are measuring baseball players.
Yeah,
right?
That's a really good point, Nestor. And thanks for mentioning Classic Five. They're one of our longest standing clients. We've been with them for nearly a decade, helping out Tom Pierce and the team up there. And what they're doing, and people that don't know, Classic Five is the five city-owned golf courses. And, you know,
Pine, you don't mind if I have crab cake while you're still sure.
Enjoy.
All right, good. Thank you.
And, you know, when you look at what they're doing on these courses, it's affordable. They're teaching the game to people. They're really investing in technology. You know, you just mentioned the Pine Ridge driving range, and now it's Top Tracer, that thing you see on when you watch golf tournaments that shows the flight of your ball and the distance and all that stuff. So very cool. We work with Baltimore Country Club. We work with Caves Valley on the BMW and help them in a few different ways. So golf is a passion of mine. I love golf, the way Dante was alluding to earlier.
Yeah, I know this about, I mean, were you playing golf in 96, 97 with the Orioles?
A little, but shoot, during the season, you couldn't get the hell out. Like
were you a guy playing golf in Fort Lauderdale every year in March or no?
I doubt
those guys were all fishing more than they were golfing, as I remember those teams.
No,
I
agree.
I knew the Jesse Orozcos and... I mean, I remember all the Cam and Nickies, all those guys.
Yes.
They were mainly fishermen.
Yeah.
And you were in Cleveland when the tragedy happened, right?
I was. I was there and when Steve Olin and Tim Cruise were killed.
They were fishermen.
Yeah, they were out on a boat ride and they hit a dock that was unmarked. Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. Sorry I even brought that up.
No.
But I mean, but when I think of baseball, I think of fishing. I mean, golf, yes.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know you golf. I mean, you was golfing now. My partner, Brian Billick. Brian and I. Brian picked up a golf club for the first time in his life 15 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so Brian's pushing...
He's probably annoyingly good, too.
Brian's pushing 70. Brian's 6'7",
yeah.
Right? He's got that whole unwieldy... Brian used to do a golf tournament in Queenstown every year because he was in the boating community over there. And this is even when he was the coach. Before he lost a job, he was building his thing over there.
Yeah.
And I went first couple years. And this is Bowler, Heap... I mean, just to give you some of the players of that era, maybe a Mark Clayton, mid 2005, 6, 7 range. I went over, and Billy said, come on over, be a part of my golf thing. I'm like, all right. He said, I don't golf. I'm like, I don't golf. He's like, good, you'll ride the beer cart with me. We'll drive every hole.
Perfect.
We'll bust balls all day. And Brian and I love each other, so Brian and I spend the day together, you know, the odd couple. And we got out of a hole and Bowler, and it was definitely Heap. It was definitely Bowler and Heap. They're like, come on, coach, you got to hit a ball. And I'm like, and Brian's like, do you know how to hit a ball? I'm like, yeah, I took lessons. I mean, I know how to hit. I'm too fast-paced for 4 hours. You would admit that. I probably don't have a temperament to want to do that. I don't watch movies. I barely read books. So I go out, and I hit the ball. I sliced it, whatever. Coach got out there, and, I mean, coach was an NFL draft pick.
Yeah.
It's a real athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, real, you know, he's not a fake guy. He's not just a ball coach with a – I mean, he was a draft pick. He played tight end. He went to BYU. He got out there, and it looked like he had never – he just had this – I mean, it was – if I had a video game, he would have been embarrassed, right? And he hated golf, talked badly about golf, and then somehow last year and a half he moved to Minnesota. He picked up a golf club at 66, 67, and he's shooting in the 80s or whatever he's shooting. You know what I mean?
Yes, he's playing well, and it's funny.
And
that
he's addicted to it.
Oh my God, it is such an addictive sport, and it's funny, Nessa, you mentioned him having a struggle early on, even though he's an amazing athlete. Like we were talking about Cal. So he and I play, and Cal's become a pretty good golfer, but it was not just through natural ability, and we're always fascinated. Things sitting on the ground, it ain't moving. And it's really hard to hit. You're hitting breaking balls. You're hitting 100-mile-per-hour fastballs. That little sucker is a pain in the ass. Yeah.
I would always say that in my 20s when I didn't play golf. And I started taking lessons. I started taking lessons in when I knew you. 95. It was after Greg Norman blew it. 96, whatever. Because a guy named Norm Vikoski, shout out to Norm, took me down to Furnace Branch in Glen Burnie. And I hit balls. And he taught me. The first thing is I held it. Like a baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm covering baseball and Cheeto Martinez and David Segui.
Like
yeah, held it like this, right? Yeah. No. You got to get it in there. It's
going to
feel a little
grip.
Uncomfortable.
Yep.
You don't pull your arm in. It's kind of like water skiing. You pull in, you go. You keep your arms locked. And I got, you know, I got the flow of it and the hips, and I figured it all out. But the thing I would always say, and this is the cocky Aparicio in me, I'd love to talk to Cal about this. as I'd say, the ball doesn't move.
Right.
Like, I played tennis. Like, I played a lot of tennis. Right. I was a pretty decent tennis player.
Logic would tell you that's way more difficult.
I played baseball,
yeah. Right.
And I mean, I'm not trying to hit, you know, Scott Erickson, or thinking that once I saw Eddie Watt throw at the 86, a 20-year reunion to the 66 guys, and I saw a 52-year-old guy who stunk, Eddie Watt, 19, and it was so fast it looked like it had a haze on it.
That's funny.
And I'm 18 years old behind the Cage Memorial Stadium. I'm like, okay, that's a little different than the way we did at Dundalk, you know. But the ball doesn't move, and I would always say that, like, you can figure it out. The ball doesn't move. It's not tennis or baseball, but it is a lifetime of figuring it out.
Lifetime of figuring it out. It's a maddening game. It's a game. I don't know why, like, some of us that are obsessed with it are obsessed with it, because you could spend a ton of money on it. You could spend a ton of time on it. And guess what? You're still going to shank them. I remember watching a PGA tournament, and every once in a while, you'll see a guy really lose it, like we lose it. That shows you. You got a piece of metal this big. You're swinging it pretty fast. You got to hit it in this little spot.
And you got nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, you got nobody to blame but yourself.
This is not a team effort.
That is a good point.
That's like tennis.
It's a great game that I love. And so we're happy to work in that space. Anytime we get the chance, the Western Golf Association brought us on for the BMW, and we'll be back in 2025, which I think is such an exciting coup for the city.
Well, I can't have you on once every year, 5 years, without saying the trip that we had to Beijing with Cal.
That was amazing.
It's still an all-timer.
Oh,
I know
God.
You and I talked about it with your wife when I saw you at a Pine Ridge a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The videos, every video I took is all up. Cal at the orphanage, Cal playing quick ball, us walking the Great Wall of China, shopping in Beijing.
You and I mean, think about that now, especially in the environment of the global environment which we live now. You and I were standing on the Great Wall of China together. That's crazy. And that was so cool. And I remember you interviewing Cal on the plane on the way to China.
Over the North Pole.
I
interviewed Cal over the North Pole and in Siberia.
I remember the pilot came out. He's like, just so you guys know, we're like over the North Pole. I'm like, well, you should get back inside the cockpit. But it was pretty amazing trip, pretty special trip. Beijing, Guangzhou, and you guys hung around.
I went to Hong Kong and Tokyo.
Yeah, you went to Hong Kong and Tokyo as well. He and I went to Tokyo a couple of years after that. But it's been great. The State Department sent him to a few places. So Nicaragua, the Czech Republic, Japan, and China. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be with him on those trips. And
nothing like seeing the world.
Baseball's
right?
A tool. It's amazing. We don't do enough of that. We've been blessed to have those opportunities.
Well, you know, I'll just say this. I was embarrassed on the trip, and I had a life-changing experience. So first night we land in Beijing, we check in, and I got the same stuff there. You know, there's a 7-Eleven over there, and there's a Starbucks, and it had a Sizzler, which I thought was great. This was in 2007.
I don't know what they're cooking in a Sizzler, but yeah.
I'm just saying, we were there, and my wife and I decided to break off from the State Department and the politicals, and we got a regular cab to a regular place that I found in a photo's guide, and it was called Bellagio, right? Right around the time maybe the Bellagio was made, but I didn't pick it because of that. I picked it because it was well thought of, so we wanted to go to a real place. Walked in, thick with cigarette smoke, right? Everywhere, right?
Ugh.
So we sit down. There's a video of this on YouTube. Just Google me in Beijing in 2007. We sat down, and we pointed at things on the menu because they had no English in the menu. It was all Mandarin. We were wondering, like, how in the hell are we going to get a cab to get back to our hotel at St. Regis? We had maps. We had State Department rules. We were not allowed to say the word Taiwan. We were told not to open our eyes in the shower because of the water and bacteria. All of that, right? So we're in this restaurant. We order. Soups come. And they came out with chopsticks. And I held my hand up. And I'm missing a finger, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do chopsticks. And the Chinese waitress says, you know, I'll come back. She came back and brought me toothpicks.
What?
Like literally toothpicks, right?
Oh,
so to eat soup,
because
they didn't have forks, right? So I'm like, all right, it's going to be my challenge in life to learn how to eat with chopsticks. So now I'm 53. I learned maybe 2008.
You got it down?
Oh, dude, I went back to Tokyo right before the plague 2.5 years ago, and I chopsticked.
You're snapping around.
Oh, I'll eat those meatballs here at Libertores with the chopstick just to show off and show that I can. I'm so proud. that I can eat with chopsticks.
Well done.
Because I was shamed.
Well done.
I was shamed by the Chinese. Yeah,
the toothpick was a low blow.
John Maroon is here. He's Maroon PR with Cal, with golf, with the BMW, Classic 5, and the Restaurant Association. Talk about Restaurant Association a little bit because it's not my entree to you, but it was an entree for you to be involved with a crab cake tour. When I came to you and said, hey, I'm doing this wacky thing, you're like, hey, Restaurant Association probably digged that you're going to 30 crab cake places. Yeah. This year I've expanded. We're doing breweries, and it's been better than I ever thought because of the things I'm seeing, the people I'm meeting, the food I'm eating is wonderful, and weight I'm gaining and all that. But seeing these local places like Dante, his family, his brother up in Timonium, his nephew opening new places in Bel Air, every one of these businesses, no offense to Walmart, it's not Walmart. It's Maroon PR. It's little guy in Towson with an AM. It's regular community people doing the best they can in their community to serve great food and be a hub of activity and employ people and bring delicious Italian food and crab cakes to places like Eldersburg.
No, it's great. And your support of them has been tremendous, as I said earlier. So Marshall Weston, who runs Restaurant Association of Maryland, which we call RAM, his right hand, Rich, they do a great job. And their whole mission really is to support the restaurants in Maryland throughout, whether that's support it down at the State House, whether that's support it through encouragement, engagement, whether it's through campaigns like this, help them hire.
Yeah.
That's been a big problem. It's an ongoing issue. Everybody needs to hire and find good people that want to be in this industry. That's big. Certainly through the COVID and helping fight to lift some restrictions when the time was right to do so. So they do really important work, and they're good people. And we've been working with them for a few years now. I'm proud of it.
Well, every place has a different crab cake. This one out here, and I say this with all due respect to Dante, kind of exactly what I expect, because I told him, Ross's, all the crab cakes I had in East Baltimore, this was the recipe. Old Bay forward. It's got that Maryland sort of J.O. Chesapeake spice that we're famous for on the front end. Liberatore's got several restaurants, several locations. We're going to be at Rock Salt Grill up in Westminster. Marshall's going to be joining us that day. We have some other guests as well. And then we're at Costas in Dundalk, which really sort of inspired the crab cake tour, really. Saw some of the Orioles pitchers were in there the other night. Bucky Lasik was in there. My Dundalk homeboy was there as well. So we're going to be there on Tuesday wrapping up the tour. 31 crab cakes, 31 days, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. In conjunction with Window Nation, our friends at Goodwill, I'm wearing my card dealing hat. Big thanks, everybody, Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. It's the 16th through the 25th.
Yeah.
Some places cheat a little bit and they extend it a couple days, 4 days.
Of course, whatever it takes.
Usually it's a $20 lunch and a $30 dinner in most places or something along those lines. And it's a great time of the year for showing off pumpkin this or watermelon that or peach this.
And you're helping local. You're helping your local businesses, man. They need it, and they deserve it, and they have great food and great options.
Well, they're employing these kids that are going back to school in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what else? It's funny. So two things that you just mentioned.
I'm going to kill this whole crab cake.
Yeah, either way. So, really Libs, good. First of all, growing up in North Jersey, we consider ourselves the Italian food capital of the universe, right? We're snobs. We know what good Italian is.
Do you think my hair looks like Furio, if you had to guess from Sopranos? I'm trying to go with... You're a North Jersey guy.
Yeah, I like it.
I was going with the Furio look today for Dante, figuring I could be an honorary Liberatore.
Furio's a good comparison. So we're like snobby.
I bet you are.
Libs is really great Italian food, and that is saying something. It's hard to find outside of where we grew up.
Well, this was Rock's place. I didn't even know.
Rock Kabatko and Madison Sports used to basically live here back in his single days.
Dante said sales went really down when he left the community.
Shoot. Now he's a grandpa. He's married, and he just don't get him out here anymore. We gotta get him back out here and put on his old
Well, the Orioles are
going to
do things
hat.
That are going to bring you and me and Rob and people back together again.
I love it.
Orioles are winning. John was there back when they won the last time or the time before. Two times ago now. They've won since then.
Yes.
You were not Buck. You were there with Davey, Phil Regan, and
Ray.
And Ray, the late, great Ray Miller.
Yes.
I love Ray.
Ray was a good dude, and Ray was a heck of a pitching coach. Ray had a tough transition to manager. He just did. And it's Phil Regan had the same thing. Really, really terrific pitching coach. Highly regarded. Tough transition to manager. It's like those coordinators that have a tough time transitioning to head coaches. It's a big leap, and not everyone's there. But Ray's legacy as a pitching coach is unmatched, I would argue.
Well, Oriole baseball, all of the old stories coming back, including Boog and Brooks last week, and He's been involved with his cow guy. You may want to look him up. Google number 8 in the Orioles. John Maroon, Maroon PR, having a crab cake with us, talking restaurants and golf and fun and the BMW coming back, and running local business and sort of connecting local businesses. Dante Liberatore was here today. Our friends at 1623. Mike McKelvin came by.
Great beer.
By the way, one of the great conversations. No offense to me and you, or you and me and Dante, but McKelvin and I did a whole thing on Vince Bagley and Chris Thomas, and he worked at WBAO with Billy Kistner back in 1988, and Mike Gaffigan and Jimmy Hall.
Yes.
Back when I was interning for Scott Garceau and Keith Mills out of 6400 York Road and all that. So a lot of relationship with John and I going back almost 30 years. We're out here in Eldersburg. We're doing it in Westminster. We're doing it in Dundalk. Then we're going to be doing it all over the community each and every Friday into September and into football season. On behalf of our friends at the Maryland Lottery and Goodwill, Window Nation, and the Restaurant Association of Maryland, and all of our sponsors from Rofo with Chicken Palooza going on. Why does the chicken taste better on the Eastern Shore? I asked the mayor of Salisbury. He's like, we make the chicken on the Eastern Shore. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it makes
fair
sense.
Fair enough.
We are not just a crab cake state. They want to remind me of Eastern Shore, we're a chicken state. I think we're a gold watermelon state right now. And big thanks to Wise Markets as well. I am spending tomorrow, as we sit here and speak, I'm getting in the car, and I'm driving up to Sunbury, Pennsylvania, up north of Harry, almost to Messina's crib, almost halfway to Messina land, and I'm touring the Wise factory for ice cream, and they're going to serve me fresh ice cream.
Oh, man. That's a road trip.
Well, I mean, it's National Ice Cream Month. Last month was,
fantastic.
And I skipped it, so we're doing it this month. So ice cream, crab cakes, beer, we're doing it all, 31 breweries, and we're back for more. We're in Eldersburg. We're going to get back to maybe Luke out in Owings Mills and some Oriole baseball. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.